Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. And I want to say today is Wednesday, Relationship Wednesday, since someone by the name of Ileana sent me her dreams for yesterday. And I'm trying to think, okay, usually I'm a day off, but 2 days off, we're doing pretty good. That's going to be for a fun week. So anyway, today is Wednesday. Today is Relationship Wednesday. And I wanted to continue the conversation about narcissism affecting our relationships this time. I know narcissism will affect any relationship, but I specifically wanted to talk about it affecting relationships, personal, romantic type relationships that we have in our lives. Because I have to say, almost anyone else that comes into your life that possesses narcissism, that has that thing where they just cannot see other people as feeling people. And sometimes when there is an issue, they will, like, put you on the corner and only defend themselves, and you're left. No one's got your back. And when you have someone like that, it's not that they're bad people. This is really why I wanted to do these shows, because people, you know, they talk about them like, you know, and I'm like, these are people. God made them too. Why do you think they're here? They are some of the best in their fields. They're smart people. They're very driven. Their reasons may be different than someone else's reasons. But nobody who was born, especially when it's something we can call, and there's many people like that, without a reason, without a purpose, without having chose to come and be a person who teaches other people through their behavior. It's like if you go and you watch a play and there's an antagonist or somebody who's kind of giving everybody a run for their money. You watch them and you're watching and you're like, oh my God. Now, and you almost could start predicting what they're going to do, because the narcissistic brain is literally watching ego. For the most part, because once in a while, even if they were to cry, even if they're watching someone else and cry, because and they're crying because of what they're seeing, a lot of time it goes back to them. Like, wow, I cried. It's not about, well, that person was hurt in the street. It's about, I cried. Do you see the difference? Someone without that brain will say, this happened to so-and-so in the street. They fell, they broke their leg. I went and got help. I did this. I did that. But someone else, the narcissistic mind, will be really shocked even that they cried, because not much is going to make them cry. I know someone. I've known them. I've lived with them 13 to 14 years. And they never once, not only saw no crying, I never saw a tear. And also, real hard to get to laugh real hard, because the emotional base is just not that wide. It's very matter of fact. If a woman is pregnant and the husband says, well, you know what to do. What do you mean you know what to do? Well, you know, you need to go get an abortion. We're not going to have another child. Well, the woman's crying, and how could you kill somebody, and how could you do this, and how could you do that, and whatever reason she may have, or I just can't do that, or it's okay, the baby will never know, whatever it is, she will come from emotion. And he will just be thinking, I don't want to have another child. Go take care of yourself. It's just different. If the woman is the one who has a narcissistic tendencies and the husband doesn't, let's say, and she gets pregnant, she might say, I don't want to have another child. He'll be like, what are you talking about? We only have one. Let's increase our family. I would love to have another child. Nope, I don't want to have another child. I don't want to go through it. I don't want to go through all this pregnancy and start all over again with another child. And, you know, his feelings now are drowned out by what she doesn't want as opposed to what he does. And chances are she'll win. And in the other situation, he almost won and she almost did it. Then she realized she couldn't do it and she would rather lose him than lose the pregnancy. But it was a fight, and he did not talk to her for the duration of that pregnancy except to make fun of her. So when you have that lack of emotion, and you think, how could they do that? What are they? They can't even feel. Well, you're right. They can't even feel. It's not like you're far off. But if you understand that mind and you know how they think, instead of criticizing, it's still hard to stay. I will say that, because they're catalytic in nature, and catalytic in nature tends to continue to be a catalyst. So unless you're in for that kind of a ride, where unless something's wrong with you, they're not going to feel sorry for you and take care of you, because they're perfect on taking a broken wing and shaping them. It's real hard for them to take on a very strong person, because a strong person will fight them back and eventually leave. Now, the issue is the narcissist will always want, in big fat quotes, the best of everything, especially for themselves. So they're going to want the best people, but the best people, strongest people, will only come and go, because there's no way someone who's emotionally more healthy than that narrow road that the narcissist has to walk on, their road is much wider. And so they're going to eventually need more from life than what they are receiving in this relationship. They just will not be nourished enough. Then there's the issue of trust. Most narcissists in the mind, they don't value trust. They just think, oh, let me shut that person up for the moment. I don't want to be bothered. And they'll just say whatever they have to say. They don't care if it's true or not. But then as you spend time with them, you will start to see that things don't add up. And then you'll also start to see that when you speak to them, they're not even listening. And then you'll do something, they'll act shocked, sometimes upset, and you'll say, but I told you. And then you'll have to go back and remind them exactly when you told them. And then instead of them saying, oh, yeah, you know what, I'm sorry about that, they'll be like, wow, you've got such a detailed memory, I can't get away with anything. Do you see the difference in conversation? So when someone is talking like that, we might say, God, they're mean. Wow, that was uncalled for. Why were they so upset? But the personality itself knows it's not completely engaged. So they have to consciously, if they want to, be completely aware. I know a man, a great man. I love the man. And he knows, he can't say it, but he knows he has the narcissistic type personality. He's had many great girlfriends, and he hasn't been able to keep one of them. Not one. And they're great. And he's so impactful in the beginning because, remember, the first seven dates, the first seven times you see this person, they do not exhibit traces of that. You have no idea. So when people go get into a relationship and say, how was I attracted to that? Don't beat yourself up. They weren't that way when you came in. And then all of a sudden, that it starts slowly. Now it's their routine. It's where they want to go out to eat. It's where their friends are doing stuff. And then you'll find that anytime your friends, if you venture out to have friends with such a personality, or you're allowed to, they will never do anything with you and your friends unless they really, really have to, like if it would show up. But everything that they do with their life, their friends, is what you will be doing. And if you decide not to, it's like you're attacking the relationship. Now, when you get in an argument and one wants to leave the other, this is what it will look like. They will start talking. They will go right back, and they call it the audition phase, to being that person that you met. They will talk, they will admit things, they will, you know, say them, they will try to say they understand them, but they won't because they don't have the capacity. It's just a missing part. If you could just say someone who has narcissism is missing the part that has empathy or compassion towards another person. Now, they have a ton of compassion when somebody isn't in their eyes as good as they are. If they think somebody is a little broken or you need help, they're great. They will come in. They will help you. They will save the day. But then the minute you're okay and they view you as okay and you're happy, they will now go from helping you to competing with you. Well, what are you so happy about? And they'll mean it. Oh, well, you're doing fine now. What are you complaining about? Well, wait a minute. Just a week ago, you were really nice to me. And then the person who's with them realizes that they can only talk about the stuff that's hard, hurts them, all the kinds of things that will bring about some sense of compassion from the narcissist towards them. And they don't share the good stuff, and then that begins to define them if they can stay in the relationship. Unbelievable how many people have come to me. And after a while, because I lived with one for a long time, and I realized that my culture itself is narcissistic in nature. So my husband didn't seem so far-fetched. It was always an all or nothing. You're great until you do something that will embarrass or is not accepted by the community. And then everybody has a right to ostracize you. And marrying that didn't feel any different. And then I remember thinking, wow, it's only like this group of people, because I thought everyone else looked free. I had no idea that this was an ailment. I don't know what they call it. They should call it kind of a syndrome or a disability, because they are disabled from emotional connection. But what I really, really wanted to stress today was it's all based on insecurity. And people hate on narcissists. They do. not to their face. Everyone's nice to them to their face because usually it could be their boss most of the time, or someone who feels like they have to lead others. But nobody connects to them, so they talk about them behind their back. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got to deal with so-and-so. Oh, my gosh, this person, da, 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 da. But they'll say eventually, I've learned a lot from them. They're really hard to live with if you are an emotional person, if you need an emotional connection. I've met couples where both were, which is unusual because usually there's a contention between, you know, the recognition. And a lot of times both were completely successful in their fields. One is not as much as the other, but they're both content in their fields. They just decide never to have children. It's a decision. It's non-emotional. They decide that, okay, we're going to go here and we're going to do that. When you go to see them, you enjoy their intellect and their company. They're fun. But if you get too close, they start getting demanding on you the way they are kind of on each other, but they work so much they don't have time to do that. And it works. There's different ways relationships can work. But paying attention to the fact that don't discount them. It's hard to have a relationship with them, though. So I wanted to make sure I talked about that today because sometimes people feel like if they're leaving them for whatever reason, whether they've been married or not or their boyfriend and girlfriend or whatever, even stages of where you're deciding whether or not you're going to commit, they vet you and vet you and vet you. So what happens is you build a loyalty and it becomes really hard to leave them because we get used to that pat on the head when you do something that they enjoyed. And you're like, wow, they really did appreciate that. Maybe I just have to try harder. I remember when I left, that girl with the abortion, the one that he wanted to ask her to abort, that was me. And I talk about her like that girl because I could never accept that ever again. But I got very accustomed to that pat on the head. I knew deep inside that he loved me. I knew. That's why I never wanted to hurt him. And I never did. But to him, hurting him was actually leaving. But I never badmouthed him. I wrote off and wouldn't take the money. I put my alimony to zero because I was so hurt, I just wanted to be left alone because I didn't realize that it's not him. It's the personality type because that's the thing I found out. When you go around and you start getting out of your little cubby of the people that I grew up with, the people that I knew, the culture that I was from, and I started dating early on when I was 35, now 20 years ago, 21 almost. I realized that there were other people like that that weren't from my background. I was like, wow! Holy cow! And it takes a while to see it. But if you're ever in a relationship that you feel left out of, There's your answer right there. I still love him till this day. Every time my daughter goes out to see him and she tells me she's going to see him, I'll say, don't say it out loud, but give him my love. Her and I have talked about this. Even when I was with him, once I had the children, I felt like all three of us were the children. And he was our dad, like a single dad. Even though I was doing all the work for the kids and that, I mean, he was working, he did his share. I felt like the three of us were the kids and he was our father. And I detached because I didn't know how to attach. And trust me when I say I've tried everything. I've stayed with that personality longer than anybody has stayed with him ever. Because of how I got married, I never thought I could leave. But the irony was, the irony of the whole situation was he knew I never wanted to leave. In our culture, divorce is like, oh, no, you never want to do that. The label that gets slapped on you for divorce is never good. And then now you're in the community looked at as used with children, and so they try to find somebody who will accept you, if you could imagine the thought process. But then I started dying inside, and then it started showing up outside. You can't hide the truth. Did I not love him? No, I still loved him. When I used to write to God at night, I'd say, how could I love a man? Be here. Have children. Not need for anything. And he's not happy. I didn't know. But then I found out after all of it was said and done that there are people like that. And they can't help it. Their security needs weren't met early on. They came here to grow people. He did one of the most effective things to my life that anyone did to that point. My pure sadness, it wasn't hatred, it wasn't anger, it was pure sadness. My heart was broken. If you could break a heart, it broke when it came to that. And the only thing that saved me was I was so desperate that I started writing to God. And it's because of him the journey started. It's because of my relationship with him and the reason and the purpose that I had a relationship with him was to begin the journey of me gonna see Christ. Ironically, he was agnostic. Atheist bordering agnostic. The only reason he had a little bit of agnostic in him was because of how he was raised. But he used to make total fun of me for believing in God. I never thought I was better, but he thought that people believed in God were weak. Because you can't see God. Does he give you anything? Why would you believe in God? You're here. There's no God. And when I was practicing the Muslim things and it was fasting time, he would go in the kitchen and make food and look at me and go, are you hungry? And I'd go, no, not at all. But he always liked to like push that envelope. But that's his personality. With or without me, that's the most beautiful thing I found out that was probably one of the most healing. Because I got to see his narcissism affect an entire lifetime, because I've known him for, well, I was married in 85, so what, now 33, almost 30, it's 33 years this year. So I've got to see a lifespan. You could predict in any given situation what the narcissistic mind is going to say. You could predict what they're going to do, where they're going to eat, what they're going to order, how they're going to dress, where they're going to buy their clothes from. And they're very proud of their process. When you give them compassion, they think you're weak. Because feelings don't need to be wasted time on. Feelings don't get you anything. What you do gets you stuff. That's why they succeed in some ways, because they put a blinder on and they don't give time to anything else. So when you are in a relationship with somebody who has that personality, two things happen. One, you succumb and you get under it and you listen and you don't allow yourself to grow because you can't under that tree's shade. Or you get away because you can't help but to grow. We always think it's because I loved or didn't love. But at the end of the day, if we're not learning, no matter where we are, in life, if you are not learning, you will not thrive. And if you're not thriving, you start looking around to see why. And then when you realize that while you're with this person, you don't own your life anymore. You've become an IV. It's like they plug you in into their routine. Because remember, the narcissistic mind doesn't see you. What they do is they choose a partner so that both of you will be them. Everything you guys do together is them doing it. They may not even remember, well, were you there? Oh, wow, okay. You didn't realize. Because it's all about them. They cannot see another person. They're usually real hard on their kids. They don't usually hug. Read stories, say I love you. Their emotional component is off, turned off, not off like off the, you know, just turned off. It's not on. So it's very hard for you to get reaction out of them. Sometimes, you know, you would do, like some kids who have a father or mother who's narcissistic, and they may be a political figure or a movie star or somebody, and then you hear their kid is like a drug addict or doing this or doing that. And it's because they got nothing. And so they numb themselves, or they try to get away, or they get attention for something bad because they can never do something as good as their parent. And their parent lets them know that, or they tell them you'll never amount to anything, and then they never amount to anything. It's something we need to recognize. It's something we need to pay attention to, because if you can just recognize where you are, even if you feel that you're a person who has that. I've talked to many people who took appointments that are like CEOs of companies, and they only tell me their, you know, I get their first name and their last name in the email, but they only want to be called by their first name because nobody does that. They don't even tell me where they work. They may be from across the country, or I know, you know, up north in California and that, but they will tell me I'm very, very arrogant. And so I speak to the arrogance, not to them. When I work with people, I speak to the ailment, not to them, because the energy of that ailment is why they came to me in the first place. Because the original us and purity. So if somebody comes to me and they're upset about one, that man being arrogant because it left him out of everything, no one wanted to include him in anything, and it bugged the heck out of him. But he owned the company, so he couldn't be vulnerable to everyone. So we built bridges. And they had to be bridges he could understand, because the ailment he has had to understand it. Because he himself didn't, even though it was him. If you have pain, I speak to your pain. If you have happiness, I speak to the happiness. We do it to each other. We just don't know we're doing it. But if you can identify it, then you're more synchronized in how you can help each other, how we can help each other. If you speak to the narcissism, the outcomes are literally predictable, because ego is predictable. And narcissism is running on ego, and not adding in the balance of emotion to help you think, well, what should I do? They just know what to do. I'm not wasting my time doing that. Oh, no, thank you. Period. Interesting personality. But today's show, I really wanted to focus on the fact of what it is instead of getting on top of the people who are. You guys, I have just a few seconds. Finally, tomorrow's Dream Theme Thursday. I'll see you then. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.